I had a birthday last Friday. 10 years being saved. It's been a good ride. The Lord gives me some gifts every year, spiritual gifts. It's amazing. Every year it's something different. This year, my mom's my gift. All we need to do is have her jump out of a cupcake or something. But it's amazing how God worked this out, because I had asked Brother Terry about 6 months ago. I said, you know, I'm always willing, and, you know, if the Lord opens the door, I'll share what the Lord's done for me and saving me. And, you know, God's timing worked out, and he said, hey, you know, I'll be in Arkansas Wednesday if you could do it Wednesday. And, you know, it just worked out. Mom flew in yesterday, so God's got it. I thank him for that. And if I had just one statement to say about these past 10 years, is God's been good. God delivered me from a prison of drugs and alcohol, a prison that I had built. And a lot of people die in this prison. And there's various prisons. Some of you are probably in a prison this evening and don't realize it. The only time you know you're in a prison is when you try to escape. That's when the devil slammed that door shut on you. There's a lot of prisons, not just drugs and alcohol, gambling, low self-worth, unbelief, pornography, self-righteousness. But the same Jesus that delivered me can deliver anybody from anything. If you got your Bibles, turn to John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Free. The truth shall make you free. Free from sin, the bondage of sin. And if we look at what truth is, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. That's the truth. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And my favorite, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. You know, the main thing that's kept me straight for these 10 years is God. The second thing is no compromise. And a lot of us know people that we see fall off to the wayside, and that's one of the key ingredients is compromise. From what God has saved me from, I'm not playing with that. There's no way I'm going to compromise my salvation, my walk with him, to go back to that. I'm going to give you a brief history on myself and how God worked in my life. I'm amazed. I mean, 10 years, I can't get over it. My drug life started early, about seventh grade. We messed around with smoking pot from time to time. About my 10th grade years, when things were pretty regular, it was very rare that you didn't run into me and I wasn't high or either drunk. I thought I had my life under control, and by this, I mean I drew a line in the sand. And that line at that time was pot and alcohol. And that's all I was going to do. I wasn't going to do any more. I drew this line. And a lot of my friends drew the same line with me back in those days. And that line held strong for many years. I went to college, graduated with honors, got married, had my first two children. And again, that line that me and my friends drew, a lot of them crossed it very early. And for myself, I crossed that line. the ones that, the friends that I hung around with early, a lot of them, some of them died. I have buried some friends. Some of them ended up in prison. I'll fast forward about 15 years ago. I had my own business. I was making good money. But with the business employees, a lot of stress comes to play. And that line that I drew in the sand there, or imaginary line that I drew, I kind of stepped over that line and drew a new line and added cocaine to the fix. And that was one I said I'd never get into. Now, I've seen this particular drug take a lot of people down and very quick. Now, this is a stretch of my life that I prayed for God to remove the memories from my mind. I've done some God-awful things. Things, when they come up, the devil brings these things up and reminds you, makes me sick. Makes me very sick. And I've prayed, and God answered me, and he said, if I remove these memories, you won't remember where I brought you from. But that line I drew, that didn't last long either. I got to a point in my life there wasn't a line. It didn't matter. A couple of drinks, it was game on. Whatever was laid out, I done everything but put a needle on my arm. The summer 2005 was probably the lowest point of my life. My business had fell apart. I was getting a divorce. My usage was out of control. And again, there wasn't even a glimpse of a line left. And I remember being out all night, a Saturday night, and leaving the bar. I guess it must have been 9 o'clock in the morning. I live in the same place. I lived then in the same place I live now. So on 78 there, I was getting ready to turn and go up the hill into my neighborhood. Sitting there waiting for the light to change. And all of a sudden, I see my sister come down the hill with her family going to church. And I knew then, I said, there's got to be something else besides this. There's got to be something else besides this. A couple weeks rolled on by, and God was really dealing with me. And God had, prior to that moment, he had given me these warning signs in about a year span. He told me God tries to get our attention sometimes. And sometimes we just don't listen. He told me if I kept going the way I was going, it was going to affect my health. I was in a car wreck within a half a mile of my house. I remember reaching up, and I was about to turn it on the radio station, and a truck hit us full blast from the rear. That was pretty stout. And after it was all over with, I remember God just saying, hey, I'm going to get your health. I had some back issues for a while. He told me my business was going to fall apart. I remember my dad telling me, he goes, you need to thank God for what you got. And I remember looking at him and saying, thank God. I don't see him working. I don't see him doing this, making these phone calls. God took that business from me. He told me the third one. Some of us are hard-headed. Some of us can get away with one and done, right? He said, I'm going to break your family up. When you was going on the path I was going on, it really didn't matter. You could care less. I could care less. I kept on. And my family did disintegrate right before my eyes. The fourth thing he told me, I'm going to get your kids. I didn't really understand that until Keith gave his testimony about a month ago. I remember Keith telling us that he was looking in that crib before he was saved, looking at his baby, and said, God told him, if you want that baby to turn out like you, keep on the way you are. That really got to me. The ones that's got kids, you understand that. That'll get anybody's attention if you're a parent or a grandparent. I said, that's it. That's enough. That's enough. I'm tired of fighting this battle. I remember that Saturday come around. I looked at my daughter, and within my family right there under my household, she was about the only one that consistently went to church, and that was because her aunt took her. I was one of these sorry parents that dropped the kids off and figured they'd get away home. And she had been 8, 9 years old. That's pretty sorry, isn't it? That's what drugs will do to your mind. It warps you. Drop the kids off, hey, they'll get home. I remember talking to her. I said, I think your daddy's ready to go to church. I didn't know what I was getting into. But I said, where would you want to go? So she goes, well, we'll go to Addisville Church of God. I said, okay. I remember going to Sunday school, and it's just amazing how God works. That Sunday school lesson was written just for me. We've all had that happen, right? The lesson was laying down your pride. That's a big step in getting saved, salvation. Laying down your pride. He knows what he's doing. I remember sitting in service, and there was a guy to my right, and he could tell that God was really dealing with me. And he kind of nudged me. He goes, hey, man, you want me to carry you up there and pray with you? I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. 2 minutes rolled around. I was bawling. I grabbed him. I said, yeah, take me down there. Went down there and prayed. But it took me 2 times at the altar. 2 times. And some of you can relate to this. I remember praying a prayer in my mindset. I was thinking I'll get some fire insurance because what I've seen out in the world, what Christianity, what I thought it was and what it actually is are 2 different things. Because I was partying with the so-called Christians on Saturday nights. And that was one of the biggest things that kept me out of church. Because anybody that knew me before I was saved and know me now, you know I am. If I'm a drunk, I'm a drunk. I didn't hide it. They didn't hide it from anybody. My family's right here. Y'all knew everything, right? There wasn't nothing hidden. But I remember thinking, the mindset, hey, this will be awesome. I can get the best of both worlds. I could party on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday. That's the best of both worlds. I can live it up, right? That's what the mindset was. But God let me know that Monday, it don't work like that. It does not work like that. Some freak things happened at work, and again, God was really just beating on my chest. That next Sunday rolled around. I don't even know if preaching got going or what happened, but literally it was like I remember standing up, and the next thing I remember, I was face down. And I remember praying, God, forgive me. I've messed this life up for 34 years, and what's left of it is yours. I remember laying my life on the altar. And at that point, till this point, that's all I've done is whatever he's called me to do. That's what I've tried to do. Just backing up a couple minutes and what I said about seeing what Christians are doing out there. Please let that be a warning to you, because I could have went straight to hell watching people, watching what they were doing. And God, he told me, because quit watching people. Watch me. And that was a big turnaround. The past 10 years have been awesome. I love going through God's word and how it applies to your life. I remember coming across 2 Corinthians 5:17 for the first time after being saved. It was highlighted in a Bible that I had as a kid. This don't mean anything if you ain't saved. It's like reading Chinese. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what he done. I'm not the same person I was. I've had people that knew me walk up to me and say, man, your eyes look different. That's only God could do that. He gave me a new start. He gave me a new life. He gave me a new wife. A Christian wife, a new family. Now, I know I can't never repay him for what he's done, but I'm going to die trying. I will die on the battlefield, whether it's next week in Guatemala or here on this front porch, because he didn't save me just to set me down and collect dust. I've been able to share my testimony. This is probably like the fifth time. And this is a statement here that God's put on me. And I keep it in my notes here. And I'm just minding the Lord. And this is just an odd statement. But I do have to share it with you, because that's what he told me to do. When I get to heaven and God tells me, you can't come in, you can just stand here at the gate, I'd be okay with that. And I'm going to explain why. God delivered me from two hells. The hell that he built for Satan and the hell here on earth that I was in. I was in a literal hell here on earth. There's many times that I prayed that, Lord, if I go to sleep tonight, do not wake me up. I know some of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. But I thank God that he didn't answer that prayer, but he answered the whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord prayer. I was delivered from a prison that only God can do, deliver me from. Some of you might be in a prison right now of your own making. Again, it don't have to be drugs and alcohol. There's a lot of things that can imprison you. And what I'm so amazed, and it just keeps me on fire, is he saved me from something that drug rehabs have very low success rate in doing. For me, it was a one-step program. That was it. I didn't even realize I didn't cuss no more until about a month later. Smashed my finger, about took it off. Kept on working, and I was like, hey, I don't even cuss. And again, my family's here. I had a bad mouth, right? Potty mouth, bad. And to show how warped drugs will put your mind, I never would cuss in front of my mother. And there towards the end, it didn't matter. And I'm sorry, Mom. Now, here's the thing. We've been doing the Goliath Ministries, and I thank God for putting Eric in our life. If we had 30 more minutes, I'd tell you our history. But God is amazing how he can take two guys that one time was at odds and about kill each other and put them in the ministry together, and that's only God. But I looked at drugs and alcohol as an escape. And that's the prison. Some people are looking at different things for an escape. But the next day, the problems were still there. Most of the time, the problems were worse. And the worse the problems got, the more drugs and alcohol try to mask it. What we've got to realize, James 1 says that we will all have trials and tribulations while we're on this earth. It don't say maybe. It don't say if. It says when. And my question to some of you tonight is, why would you want to do this without the Lord? To me, it's insanity because I'm on this side of the cross. I spent 34 years without him, and I couldn't imagine one day without my God. That's all I got. I thank you for y'all's support, and I thank you. I want to thank God for my gift last year for sending me and my family here, because it's amazing how God works. We get a Goliath ministry, and we have people popping up saying, hey, we'll help you. Just tell us what you need. And I just want to thank y'all. I just see it in I could go on forever, but I'm just going to stop it right there. I lied. Don't stop praying for somebody. If they are where I was. My parents prayed for me for years. My daughter prayed for me for years. Angie was her Sunday school teacher. That's another story in itself. We never met until I got saved. Until the Lord saved me, we never met. And she had my daughter. And she tells me a story. Says, yeah, Amber was asking prayer for her daddy. It took a long time, but don't quit praying. I want to pray, and I'll turn it over to Mark. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for the cross. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom and salvation that you just give freely to us. It's a gift, Lord. And the main thing about a gift is we have to take possession of that gift, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you what you've done in other lives, Lord, that share their testimonies and their stories with me, Lord. And you see the fire and desire in their hearts, Lord. And we just thank you for a church, Lord, that's preaching the gospel, Lord, that's going out and doing work in our backyard, doing work in Guatemala, Lord, and just be with us as we go. And just continue to lead and guide the leadership here. We thank you, Lord, for everything you do. We ask this in the mighty, holy name of Jesus.